Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 12, entitled Birth of Emperor Parikshit, text 23. Pita Mahasamasamye. Asraya sarva bhutana, yato devo namasraya.
The grandfather,
or Brahma,
samaha,
equally good.
Samye,
in the matter.
in charity or in munificence.
Girisha, Lord Shiva.
Upamaha, comparison of equilibrium.
Asraya, resort.
Sarva, all.
Bhutanam, of the living beings.
Yata, as.
Deva, Supreme Lord.
Ramasraya, Personality of Godhead.
Translation. This child
will be like his grandfather, Yudhisthira, or Brahman, equanimity of mind. He will be munificent
like the Lord of the Kailash Hill, Shiva, and he will be the resort of everyone, like the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, who is even the shelter of the Goddess of Fortune. Purport. Mental equanimity refers both to Maharaj Yudhisthira and to Brahman, the grandfather of all living beings. According to Sridhar Swami, the grandfather referred to is Brahman, but according to Vishnu Chakravarti, the grandfather is Maharaj Yudhisthira himself. In both cases, the comparison is equally good because both of them are recognized representatives of the Supreme Personality of God. And thus both of them have to maintain mental equanimity, being engaged in welfare work for the living being. Any responsible executive agent at the top of administration has to tolerate different types of onslaughts from the very persons for whom he works. Brahmaji was criticized even by the gopis, the highest perfectional devotees of the Lord. The gopis were dissatisfied with the work of Brahmaji because Lord Brahma, as creator of this particular universe, created eyelids which obstructed their seeing Lord Krishna. He could not tolerate a moment blinking of the eyes, for it kept them from seeing their beloved Lord Krishna. So what to speak of others who are naturally very critical of every action of a responsible man? Similarly, Maharaj Yudhisthira had to cross over many difficult situations created by his enemies, and he proved to be the most perfect maintainer of mental equanimity in all critical circumstances. Therefore, the example of both grandfathers for maintaining equanimity of mind is quite fitting. Purport continues. So the great personalities like Lord Brahma or Maharaj Yudhisthira, they show this equanimity of mind. They are not disturbed by external circumstances. They're not affected or agitated because they are aloof. They are deeply absorbed in transcendence. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it is found that Lord Brahma is practically
most of his time engaged in worship. So you think, like, what is Lord Brahma actually doing? What is his occupation? Is he managing the universe? No, not very much. Mostly he's engaged in puja. And then, of course, he has his duties. And particularly at the time of the creation, he must be very busy. But then when it comes to affairs of maintenance, it's not the same. And because he is engaged in worshipping the Supreme Lord, he lives within that reality, the eternal reality, not in the temporary reality which brings us sukh and dukkh, happiness and distress. Therefore, he can be mantra sparsa stukuntiya situsna sukha dukkha agama payina nityusutam titiksava bharataha. Where it is said in Bhagavad Gita that one must tolerate the dualities in this material world, the heat of summer, the cold of winter, or the dualities of happiness and distress. We are simply unaffected. How? Not by kind of somehow or other not thinking of these dualities. No. By simply being absorbed in worshipping Krishna. Then automatically the result is that this nirapeksha, this state of being unaffected by the material energy arises. So that is a natural way of rising above the material energy, not one by force. Force means somehow or other I must stay cool. Somehow or other I will not get affected. That is force. But if we are absorbed in Krishna, remembering Krishna in the eternal situation, then the material energy looks so insignificant. Therefore, we look at the bigger picture. We look at that aspect, najayate, liyate, vakadachin, we are never taking birth, we don't die. So why so worried about this life? Why so worried? What's going to happen? It doesn't matter. It happens again and again. Life after life, the same dynamics. And we see, it's like, it's cold, and practically everyone is having some warm clothing, except a few penguins and polar bears. but otherwise, we get what we require. Yeah. We get it somehow or other. We manage to deal with the circumstances and to survive. This is therefore, why make so much of the struggle for material existence? Prakriti sthani karsati. Simply take shelter of Krishna. And then let me rise above anxiety, Vaikuntha, because then we reside in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. And Vaikuntha means free from anxiety. No anxiety. So Lord Brahma and Maharaj Yudhisthira are these examples. We see that the verse is saying Pitamaha, and we're seeing that Srila Prabhupada in the translation says his grandfather Yudhisthira or Brahma, and then we see that Srila Prabhupada in his translation has added something. He has added Yudhisthira or Brahma. It's not there in the text. So some scholars criticize Prabhupada's translation and says he puts things in the translations that are not found in the original text. Yes, but then we see, becomes clear from the purport that the Bhagavatam commentators, Sridhar Swami, the authorized Bhagavatam commentator, the original Bhagavatam commentator, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they're explaining this Pitamaha. There's Pitamaha. Either means it is Brahma, because he is known as Pitamaha, the original grandfather. But It could in this case also refer to the grandfather of Maharaj Pariksit, which is Yudhisthira. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur made that point. So Prabhupada already incorporated that in the translation. So that is a particular style of translation which academics may not like, and they are very careful. But Prabhupada translates the verses in the context of the text as a whole. Whereas the academic will translate, or the modern translator will translate very carefully, word for word, but not considering the text as a whole. So Prabhupada is actually giving us insight in the actual meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam by translating in this way, not just giving us a word for word. One day Prabhupada said, this is Pradyumna. Actually, he is the one who translated Srimad Bhagavatam. Meaning to say that his disciple, Pradyumna, was Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor. And actually, Pradyumna did a lot of the word for word in the Sanskrit. Prabhupada was certainly letting Pradyumna do a lot of that. Prabhupada said, actually, he translated. But Prabhupada said, on another occasion, he said, anyway, this translation is not so important. That's not so important. The translation of the verse, that anyone can do, he said, is the purport that is really important. And anyone can translate this Sanskrit to English. That is not such a major thing. But to give the purport, to actually give the siddhanta, to give the end, or siddha means perfection, anta means end or conclusion. So the conclusion of the perfect conclusion, siddhanta, that is required. That is required. And of course, that is clear. That pitamaha samaha samye. So, like the grandfather, equally, samas equally, good, then samye in the matter, prasad, in which way is he equally good? Prasade. Okay, so prasade is here translated as charity or munificence. The word prasad, it means mercy. Mercy. We also see prasidati. We see the word satisfaction. And so the mercy that can fully satisfy prasad. So that is, so prasad is not only referring to what we can eat, the remnants of foodstuffs left by the Supreme Lord. But for example, if we look in the relationship between Krishna and his devotees, we see different words that are used for the word mercy. Sometimes the word daya is used. Daya refers to general mercy. Then there is kripa. Kripa may also refer to mercy in general, but kripa is also often used for a personal mercy. Personal mercy. Then there is anukampa. Anukampa, also, another word for compassion or mercy. But we see these words are being used throughout the Bhagavatam. Sometimes daya, sometimes kripa, sometimes anukampa. But in the 10th canto, we find practically that every time it's prasad. Because in the 10th canto, we're dealing with the residents of Vrindavan. And they are the eternally liberated souls. So they see everything as prasad. It's all prasad. Because ultimately it's all Krishna's mercy, everything. Prasad, yes, Krishna's mercy. Yes, Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy. Hit the toe. It was Krishna's mercy. Krishna! But still we remember Krishna. Somehow or other. or sometimes the mercy of Krishna is a little difficult to take, but we take it. We take it because, after all, we realize very well that we are sinful. So if some difficulty comes, of course, it must come. We deserve it over and over, a million times more than what we are getting. That's clear. We are rascals. Srila Prabhupada made that very clear. The word rascal was like one of his pet words. Prabhupada liked it a lot. And basically, he pointed out that we are the rascals. That's our position, yes. Maybe externally devotee now, putting teeth, but by nature, rascal. Actually, see. If we really look at it, by nature we are rascal. By nature inclined to rascal dumb, right? Even Prabhupada started this word rascal dumb, right? I mean, you don't really find that, you know, but there is a whole. So Prabhupada was like expert on the topic. He made a whole science out of it. I could start a department in university, the study of rascal dumb, right? Yes. And like, you know, PhD in rascal dumb. Yes, there are many who have perfected the art of being rascal, including us. This is the situation. So by inclination, sinful, it is said that the devatas, they are pious. They're by nature pious. So the devatas are by nature, take their birth from the higher planetary system, and they are by nature their pious. It said that those who take birth on this middle planetary system, they are by nature sinful. See? So that's everyone on this planet. By nature, sinful inclination. Then by culture, we can be rectified. Not by nature. This is interesting. Rascals. Some of us are even nonsense rascals. And this is a big thing in India. It's sort of, if you go and say nonsense rascal, that's a big thing. I remember that one of our Vrindavan temple president got so angry with the bank manager for some reason. So he told him, "You are a nonsense rascal." And the manager, I am a nonsense rascal. You are saying I am nonsense rascal? Nonsense rascal? Am I a nonsense rascal? He took it very seriously. If you say to any Australian nonsense rascal, they know <don't laughs> that's a funny one. That's a good one. Nonsense rascal. The Prabhupada was using it freely, rascal. Yes. So that's us. We are rascal. So Lord Brahma, by nature, is inclined towards piety. Sometimes the demigods may become slightly tempted by the material energy, and some material sinful desire emerges. Unlike us, constant sinful desire, and sometimes we may spontaneously feel like, you know, wanting to do devotional service, but mostly it's out of duty and out of fear. Shutir apres mitim itare paradamanya bhajanta bhavita aham hiyam nandya vande yasya bindu param brahma. Some are following the sruti, some are following the smriti, some are following the Mahabharata or the Itihas and other scriptures, but all are doing it out of fear. Oh yes, worshipping Bhagavan, because if I'm not a devotee, what will happen? The sky may fall on my head. So many bad things may happen to us, therefore please bless, so that no bad things may happen. Actually, the lowest level of spirituality is based on fear. It's all based on fear. Therefore, we see that the lowest level of worship the Shaktas, the Durga worshippers, because what they try to do, they try to pacify Durga Devi.
We also see Kali, the tongue, and you know, skulls, a garland of skulls, and so many weapons and blood.
Very ghastly, right? Ghastly form. This is the material nature, which shows its bloodthirsty, ghastly form.
This one dies, that one dies.
Accident, disease, horrible violence. Pacify that material nature. Pacify that deity. Make an offering. You want blood, we'll give you gold. Don't take my child, take the gold. You want blood, we'll give you blood, but not my blood. Like this. So this is the idea of pacifying a vicious deity. That is Shakta. That is Shakta worship. That is behind Durga worship. That's why the gold. And then we can eat it as well. Tasty. Prasad. So, no, this is the lower form of worship based on fear. So we must understand that it is based on fear of the harsh feature of material nature. A higher level are the Suryas, those who are worshipping the sun god, Surya. Those who are worshipping Surya are looking at the life-giving energy. So they have a positive energy. Then, the next category up, one level better, are those who are turning directly to the personality for blessing their activities. They are Ganapatyas. Oh, Ganapati. So cute, so sweet, so nice. Yes. Ganapati. Yes, Ganapati takes away obstacles. That's why Ganapati especially is the deity of the Vaishyas. Nice. But a broader type of worship are the Shaivites, who are understanding that actually they are looking at the origin of this world. The Ganapatis, they don't care about the origin. They want to fix the problems. You see? So their worship is, all right, let us fix the problems. So we worship Ganapatis. And then we're happy. That's what we want from our worship. But the Shaivites are higher because they're more philosophical. They enter into what is the origin. And ultimately they see that Shambhu is the generating principle. Shambhu now not looking as the destroyer, but Shambhu is the creative principle. Why? Because from Lord Vishnu expands, ultimately, Mahavishnu. From Mahavishnu expands Sadashiva. And Sadashiva, it is said that the material energy is sometimes manifest, sometimes not manifest. When it is not manifest, it exists in potential. Like a tree exists in potential in the seed. The tree is not there, but in potential it's there in the seed. So the material world in potential exists. The Mahatattva, all the material energy in potential exists. This potential is called Pradhana. So it is the non-manifest material energy. Then Mahavishnu glances upon that material energy, and it is Sadashiva who becomes that glance, and therefore Shambhu. And then through that glance, the material energy becomes activated, the Mahatattva becomes activated, and the living beings are impregnated into that material energy. Therefore, it is Shambhu who is the generating principle. And at that time, when Shambhu touches the material energy, then he transforms. Yatada vikara vishesha yoga. The vikara, the transformation, takes place. And then we have Lord Shiva, Shiva Tattva. Then, so, in this way, Lord Shiva counts as the generating principle. Therefore, we have the lingam.
and which represent that generating principle of Lord Shiva, who impregnates Prakriti, and therefore we see in the lingam there is a little column representing the male form and the oval shape representing the female, and in this way, or representing Prakriti, the Shambhu generating form and Prakriti the receiving form. So in this way, we can see the Shaivites are more philosophical and looking more at the origin of life, and like they are more inclined towards when you look at the origin of life, you also become more inclined to inquire about the purpose of life. The Ganapatis, they don't inquire about the purpose of life. They know the purpose of life. You just have to fix the problems in life, you know. So, my dear Ganapati, please take away all these obstacles and give us the profit. Like that, you see. So, that is more fruitive and more small-minded. But the Shaivites are more philosophical, looking at the origin of life, looking at the goal of life. But their understanding is incomplete, because ultimately their understanding is that the root cause is Brahman, is impersonal. Yes. So then we see this kind of worship, the Panchupasana, like you have these Panchupasana, the five types of worship that was Sankaracharya who established this idea of Panchupasana. Like in Vrindavan, you have this temple, and on the lowest level in the temple, on the ground floor, deity of Durga Devi. Then you go one floor up, there is deity of Surya. You go one floor up, there is Ganapati. You go one floor up, there is a deity of Lord Shiva. Then you go one floor up, and there is a deity of Lord Vishnu. And then in the top of the temple, there is Om. Sometimes you see these posters of Radha and Krishna, and you see Om behind it. That means that the poster is telling you that Radha and Krishna are coming from Om, from the impersonal. So the poster is actually telling you it is the Brahman that is the origin, and Radha and Krishna are manifestation of the impersonal. So don't buy these books. Oh, so beautiful. Don't buy it. No. That is Abhasiddhanta. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was Abhasiddhanta Viruddha. He was the enemy of the Abhasiddhanta, of wrong Siddhanta. Siddhanta is essential. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satsiddhananda Vigraha Analiya Nirgovinda Sarvakarna Karnam. Krishna is the supreme controller. Krishna is the origin of everything. He is the cause of all causes. He has no other origin than himself. That we understand. So he is the ultimate. There is no Om sign behind him. No. The Brahma Jyoti is simply the effulgence of his body. That is all. That is all. Nothing more. His Shakti, actually. Sankaracharya was saying, how is it possible for the Supreme Lord, for Brahman to change? He said, Brahman is, it is what it is, right? Brahman is the original form. So how can Brahman transform? So if Brahman is the basis of everything, then here we are in this world and we see all these forms. Look, beautiful temple, nice decorations. Very traditional, like Jaipurian borders and so many other nice arches. Oh, yes. Onyx, the green, pink marble, so many types of marble. It's like very opulent. Sankaracharya says, no, the rope with a snake. And the rope with a snake. Is it a rope or is it a snake? What is it? Is it a rope or is it a snake? He said, you're seeing a snake, but actually it's just a rope. It's illusion.
So this is the philosophy known as Vivartavat, the philosophy of illusion. So the whole world is illusion, Sankaracharya says. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, no. He said, he gave the philosophy of Shakti Parinamavat. Shakti Parinamavat means that, he said that there is transformation, there are results. Brahman gives off byproducts. So how is this possible? Sankaracharya says it's not possible because Brahman is one substance, nothing else. It cannot change. But Mahaprabhu says, Brahman is not the Supreme Lord. Sankaracharya says, how can the Supreme Lord change? He's the Brahman, he's the origin. That's it. That's what he is. He said, no. Brahman is the Shakti. Brahman is, of course, the Shakti is transcendental. It is the transcendental Shakti of the Lord. But Brahman is simply the Shakti. Brahman is not the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Shakti, the energy, can transform. Therefore, Shakti Parinamavat. Parinam, as we know, means result of fruits. So it can result, it can produce many other forms. And the marble is real. And the wall also. And if you hit your head on the wall, it's hard. And your head is real also. You can feel it. I really have a headache. It's all illusion. When Nimai was only small, one day his mother brought him sweets. Next moment, she put the plate down. She turns around, and from the corner of her eye, she sees that he doesn't eat the sweets. Instead, he takes some mudge from the ground and puts it in his mouth. She turns around, what are you doing? And she's like, how can you put mud in your mouth? What's wrong with you? I give you sweets and you put mud in your mouth? He says, mother, what's the difference? This mud, those sweets, it's also mud. Then his mother says, who taught you this nonsense philosophy? She says, look, if I take some mud, some mati, and I make this into a nice clay pot, then this mati can hold water. But if I just take the mati like that and I put water on top, it gets a big mess. Only my said, this is a very practical explanation. Very practical. I will give up this idea that everything is all one because it is not practical. You gave a very practical explanation. In this way, Mother Sachi refuted the little Mayavadi Nimai and established, yes, that there is difference. Difference. Sweet and clay. So, we understand Shakti Parinamavad. Brahman is a Shakti. That is interesting. That is how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeats the impersonalists. So we turn back to the purport for a moment. We read about Lord Brahma and how he was equipoised, and we understood that he was equipoised because he's pious. He's pious. Whereas we are by nature impious. Then we do some pious activity, but mostly we do it because we are motivated. And I went through that whole list of those who worship out of fear, those who worship Surya for some good energy. Now the modern worshippers, the prana healing, you know, Reiki, that's all Suryas, right? Prana. Also in China, Qi, right? Qi is also, that's also Surya. Qi comes from Surya, that's prana healing, so it's all like the source, worshipping energy, the positive energy. Dhanapachas trying to fix the problems. So that's all motivated worship, materialistic worship. The chi is about getting the power. And you see, like the old Zen master we're talking about, see him and he just raises his hand and the enemy already flies to the other side of the room. Or you see how they cook on chi. You see, like, you know, they're baking things. Just, you see that sometimes in the Chinese movies.
So there's energy.
Energy. Yeah. Taken from the sun. By some process. So that's just how to get powerful. You see? How to get powerful. So all ulterior motives, all, so whatever pious activity we do it with ulterior motive. Some ulterior motive is there. What is it? Bhukti Bhukti Siddhikami Sakala Ashanta, not the first line of that verse. What is it again? Doesn't want to come. I'm blocked. Say the whole line. That's the last line. First line. Krishna Nishkama Adeyata. So that a devotee who is engaging in the service of Krishna, he is Nishkama. He has no personal desire, no personal agenda. He's Nishkama. So therefore, because he is Nishkama, he has no other motivation than to serve Krishna. But the Bhukti, Mukti, Siddhi, Sakala, Ashanta, they all are not peaceful. Sakala means not all in one lakh. Sakala, Ashanta, they're all not peaceful. And the Bhukti means the sense enjoyer. The Mukti, the one who wants Mukti. The city, the one who wants mystic power. So you can see a lot of the worship is all motivated. Motivated. I saw a video clip of a certain personality in South India who had like a lot of hair and who was it was in India in the south, very hot. Oh, garam, 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 bohut garam. So they brought. He was giving a lecture. He's sitting on a big vyasasana microphone, everything, and they're bringing a towel. So he takes the towel, rubs his face with the towel, and then he starts to like make convulsion movements like. And next, a golden lingam. Comes from his mouth. And you see the audience, the people, they go, a miracle! Well, you know, I can do that too. If somebody's ready to donate a golden egg, any volunteer to donate a golden egg, someone put a towel, and I'll do it for you. You know, I mean, I can also, you know, if my sleeves are long enough, I can also manifest them once. Swiss. So, but this means we are kami. This means we have personal desire. Yes, our worship is all mixed with some material gain and profit. Kami, still for us, so motivated. So when we get pious, then our worship is also generally a bit motivated. And we want this and we want that. Let nothing happen to me, Krishna, please. That everything will be good. And please, oh Krishna, please. Protect my auntie, my uncle, my dog, my canary, my nieces, my everybody. This is all Jagadisha Hare. Okay, a little more purport. Lord Shiva is a celebrated demigod who awards gifts to beggars. His name, therefore, is Ashutosh, or one who is pleased very easily. So Ashutosh means he's pleased very easily, but also angered easily. Be careful. But says, oh, this is good. I'll worship Lord Shiva because he's pleased very easily. Asutosh. Yes. But what can he give? He can only give material benedictions. But what's the point? He cannot give liberation from birth and death. That's the problem. So we worship Lord Shiva as a Lord Vaishnava Nityasya.
He is also called the Bhutanath, or the Lord of the common folk, were mainly attached to him because of his munificent gifts, even without considering of the after effects. Ravana was very attracted to Lord Shiva, and by easily pleasing him, Ravana became so powerful that he wanted to challenge the authority of Lord Rama. Of course, Ravana was never helped by Lord Shiva when he fought with Rama, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord of Shiva. To Vrikasura, Lord Shiva awarded the benediction, which was not only awkward, but also disturbing.
You may remember that this Vrikasura was a demon who was performing a yajna, and he was cutting bits of flesh and into the fire.
So he was just going in a strong way, cutting, and offering the flesh to Lord Shiva.
And still Lord Shiva did not appear. So finally he was getting serious, and he was getting ready to offer his head to Lord Shiva. So then Lord Shiva appeared. All right, what would you want? I want the benediction that whenever I touch the head of anyone, that it will explode. Nice benediction, nice offerings. A kind of a friendly chap, this Vrikasura. So then, Vrikasura wanted to try if the benediction worked, and he wanted to try it on the nearest head, which happened to be the head of Lord Shiva. So he went after Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva running, and Vrikasura right behind him. Then Lord Vishnu appeared in the form of a young brahmachari, and he said to Vrikasura, "Why are you running so much? Don't you know that in this way you're wearing out your body, and that the body is a very important tool?"
"Yes," Vrikasura said, "this is a very intelligent boy. Body is very important, yes.
Don't you know that, you know, you have to look after the body?" He said, "No, but I have to catch Lord Shiva." He said, "Why you have to catch him?" He said, "Because he gave me this benediction that whomever's head I touch, it will explode. And I'm going to test on him if it works, to see if he really gave it to me."
"Oh," said the brahmachari,
"no, I don't think he gave it to you. Lord Shiva is not reliable at all. Not reliable at all. He keeps the association of low-class men. And you know, that rubs off on you. Yes. You can be sure, you can bet, that you can judge a man by the company he keeps. You judge a man by the company he keeps. See what company he keeps. All kinds of thieves, rogues, ghosts, he cannot be of good counsel. You can't believe him. You can't believe him. But then how do I know that I got the benediction or not?" "Easy," the brahmachari said. "Just touch your head." And then Vrikasura touched his head. It exploded.
So in this way, Vrikasura was saved. So here, to Vrikasura, Lord Shiva awarded a benediction which was not only awkward but also disturbing. Vrikasura became empowered by the grace of Lord Shiva to vanish anyone's head simply by touching it. Although this was awarded by Lord Shiva, the cunning fellow wanted to make an experiment of the power by touching the head of Lord Shiva. Thus, the Lord had to take shelter of Vishnu to save himself from the trouble. And Lord Vishnu, by his illusory potency, asked Vrikasura to make an experiment with his own head. The fellow did it and was finished himself. So the world was saved from all sorts of trouble by such a cunning beggar of the demigods. The excellent point is that Lord Shiva never denies anyone any sort of gift. He is therefore the most generous, although sometimes some kind of mistake is made. Then Rama, the long A at the end, means the goddess of fortune,
Rama Devi. We're speaking about
the goddess of fortune, and her shelter is Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is the maintainer of all living beings. There are numerous living entities, not only on the surface of this planet, but also in all other hundreds of thousands of planets. All of them are provided with all necessities of life for the progressive march toward the end of self-realization. So it's interesting, Ramadevi, that the name Ram also includes Ramadeva. Therefore, when we're chanting the Maha Mantra, so many things are included, actually, in the Maha Mantra. Yeah. Just like Krishna, Krish means darkness, right? And Na means not. So no more darkness. So when we worship Krishna, all darkness disappears. There's no doubt about it, Krishna. But that's not all. That's the negative. That is solving the problems. Krishna is the problem solver. But there is also Krishna giving the positive inspiration. Therefore, the other meaning of the Krishna too is that Krishna is all attractive. And now means Anant. Hare referring then to the internal energy, the Ladini Shakti, that potency that gives pleasure to Krishna. And Ramanti Yoginam and Te Satchananatiratmani, referring to that transcendental happiness, which is also embodied in Lord Ramachandra, or in Parasuram, or in Ramadevi. And so in this way we can see all these meanings are there in the holy name. So Ram also refers to Balaram. Also to Balaram. And that means that Lord Nityananda is also there. And Lord Nityananda is also there in the chanting. So in the Maha Mantra, Nityananda is also present. Nityananda Balaram. So by worshipping through the Maha Mantra, all our various deities are included. A simple translation of the Maha Mantra would be that by serving the all-attractive Krishna, one gets Rama, happiness, finished. That is the simple translation. Or as Prabhupada then said, please engage me in your devotional service. Okay, I have to finish the prayer part. It's very long, so I broke it up in pieces. These men are always after the mercy of the illusory goddess of fortune, but they do not know that the goddess of fortune can live only under the protection of Vishnu. Without Vishnu, the goddess of fortune is an illusion. We should therefore seek the protection of Vishnu instead of directly seeking the protection of the goddess of fortune. Only Vishnu and the devotees of Vishnu can give protection to all. And because Maharaj Pariksit was himself protected by Vishnu, it was quite possible for him to give complete protection to all who want to live under his roof.
Yes. When I come into the shop in India somewhere, come in the shop early morning.
Swamiji. You have come to my shop. Very nice. Yes. Thank you so much. This is very nice. Yes.
I will take your money.
Yes.
I will take your money and make that the first offering to Lakshmi Devi. She will be very pleased to take the money from the sadhu. very nice. So like this, the shopkeeper in the morning takes my rupees and puts them at the feet of the picture of Lakshmi Devi. Today I'm blessed. Lakshmi Devi will surely bless me today because the first offering came from a saintly person. So just see, all this misguided understanding,
not understanding the that Lakshmi is the personification of Padasevana, of serving the lotus feet of the Lord. It is said there are 9 processes of devotional service. Sravanam, we hear that Maharaj Pariksit, Kirtanam, Sukadev Goswami, Smaranam, remembering, that was it Prahlad Maharaj? Yes. So like that. And then this Pada Sevanam,
Padasevanam was Lakshmi. Because Lakshmi is always thinking of serving the lotus feet of Narayan. Lakshmi Narayan. Therefore, Lakshmi is known as Chanchala. She's very restless. She cannot stay. And you know it, money is like water. It comes in your hands and it's already gone. That's how it is. First your family members plunder you, then the government, and everybody plunders it. Someone, your friends, everyone will get your money in the end. Very quickly, nothing left. I worked so hard for this, already gone. Yeah, that's Lakshmi. Lakshmi belongs to Narayan. Therefore, and there she will stay. So to worship Lakshmi separately is another bewilderment. Again, motivated worship for profit. So we are being trained by the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, to gradually come to the point of selfless worship, which can only be dedicated to Krishna. Selfless worship. Do you want any benediction? Only one. That I may please never give up your service. I don't do service to ask for something else. The service is the best. It's better than anything else. You see, the service is what we want. We don't worship because we want something else. No. The best thing in my life is this service to Krishna. This is what Srila Prabhupada is teaching us. Why would you ask? You know, you do service and then you ask for money. And is money what will it do to you? Money is a headache. Money gives you pain. That's real money. Money is the handi. Well, you know, there are a few stings with this money also. Lots of headache, money. So, just seva. That is our goal. So this we are learning. So after having gone through the whole purport and discussing worship of various deities, in conclusion, as the Siddhanta, as the final conclusion, I want to establish that the worship of Krishna, right, is the only selfless worship, and it is the best. It is. The activity itself is our reward, right? The reward of the service is service. The result of chanting is more chanting. So if you're chanting and you're trying to finish your rounds, I've got news for you. You'll never finish your rounds. It goes on eternally. Any questions?
You're making the point about mixed bhakti. I just wanted to know what would be the outcome of someone who continued on that path?
Worshipping the demigods and worshipping Krishna, or what, are you referring to?
Devotional service with ulterior motives and having that meditation of wanting some, like you were saying, some Lakshmi or some reward or something like that. You know?
There is, then it, as you say, it's mixed. There is a lot of selfish motivation, but there is also some service for Krishna. So then there's the benefit. Last night we discussed Putana. She makes a few things in her devotional service, but, you know, Krishna looked at the offering. So Krishna reciprocates with the service, and ultimately one will become purified from all these other desires. So after a while, a person who serves Krishna with mixed motivation, self-interest, will gradually become free from that and just become attached to Krishna. In our retreats, I showed a picture of fruit and worship of a Rolls Royce, big fancy Rolls Royce, with a number plate, "For you, Krishna." Yeah. Well, once a year, Rati Yatri, drive Lord Jagannath from the temple through the chariot, you know, and the rest of the, and, you know, sometimes you pick up Swami, but for the rest, you know. So that's a little mix. But eventually, you'll get so attached to driving around Lord Jagannath, you know, that, like, you don't care about the Rolls Royce anymore, just Jagannath takes over. So that's when Krishna takes over. Krishna's that kind of person. You give him a finger, he takes the whole hand. But, anybody else?
When you were saying about Prabhupada saying rascal, at the end, when, before he passed away, he was so humble that he apologized for saying rascal.
Mm-hmm. He did, he did. Yeah. Well, that is also, that is actually proper Vaishnava etiquette. Prabhupada explained that in the course of preaching, we sometimes had to speak out strongly. We had to sometimes speak out strongly. But if anyone took offense, then please forgive me for this offense. Because one has to understand, when one is about to go before the Lord, one should not be burdened by any offense. Of course, there was no offense. He was right. He is completely right. We are rascals. But Prabhupada again showed, as an acharya, how one should approach the end of life. And that indeed, one should become more and more sensitive about not having anyone with bitter thoughts about us. You know, when we are new in Krishna consciousness, yes, we are not so careful about Vaishnava relationships. And sometimes, you know, it's like when you speak about association with the Vaishnavas, it's not only meant for sweet inspiration. The other thing that you get from living in the community of the Vaishnavas is Trinapi Sunichena Tarura Pisa Hishnana Amanina Manadena Pisanina Sadari. That you have to become more humble than a blade of grass and more tolerant than a tree, because it's not easy to live in such a close community of and the Vaishnava. And this one is in a is talking about me in a way that I really don't appreciate, you know what I mean? And it's, and I mean, it doesn't stop, right? And so on and so on. And you get all kinds of relationship issues. And, you know, I mean, the guy's a total poof head, right? To give an Australian expression. Alright. Is that an offense? In the beginning we think, oh well, you know, that's just the way I speak, you know, call this one a bullhead, call that one an idiot, that guy, this guy, you know, some American comes in, you know, I mean, yeah, this guy, that guy, but you can see that, you know, in Vedic culture, a guy is a cow, you know. Supposed to, we have this, we call each other Prabhu, this Prabhu, that Prabhu, so it's respectful. So this modern culture is actually a little offensive, you know, and gradually one begins to value. A Vaishnava is very precious. There are so few, you know, so, and life is very long. In a way, life is short. In the other way, life is long. It's a long road to go to Krishna. You have to stay a devotee for your whole life. You will be tested in so many ways. Whole life, the whole long life, never step over the line. It's difficult Durgale Patimendasya Skala Padakatir Muhu Yad Kripa Sustidani Nasantasantavalam. My path is very difficult. My feet are slipping again and again. But with the stick of the association of the Vaishnavas for my support, I can do it. We need the devotees. We need them. Therefore, we have to be careful about these relationships. As we get older as devotees, we begin to realize that, oh my God, I should stop, you know, being so harsh with the devotees. I should really become more careful. They're not ordinary people. I need them. Even if they're different in character, I should learn to appreciate them. And I should appreciate them for their service. You know, like I was in South Africa, which is the country of apartheid, right? Where everyone is separated and one group looks as the other as if they're extraterrestrials. Right? Indians. You know. Wow. White man. And I'm black. You know, like everyone is so segregated, so apart, they can't relate to each other. And then you know, but since Mandela and all that, they have the Rainbow Nation, right? Now South Africa is the Rainbow Nation, and they're trying to bring it all together. So I was in this orientation day of a university, and this was somewhat closer to the abolishment of apartheid, right? And these professors are coming in, and they're speaking about, you know, reconciliation, we have to learn from the mistakes made in the past, and we have to all actually appreciate each other. And think, yeah, you want to keep your job, and that was obvious. And there were big speeches about brotherhood, and now, you know, now we are all brothers. Yeah. Easier said than done, right? If you're a Gujarati, and if your son brings back a Tamil girl, drama ho gaya. Big drama ho gaya. Right? Not in my family, no Tamil in my family, no way. And I guess it's the other way around also. So all these, even in India itself, so many differences between communities and everywhere in the world, you have this segregation. How can we have real brotherhood? Only, not by denying the differences. There are differences, absolutely. But if we see, if I can see that that black man, you know, right, is nicely serving Krishna, right, oh, then I can say, hey, he's very nice. And you can see that the treacherous Europeans, these Europeans who have betrayed the whole world for many centuries. They did it everywhere. They did it in India. They did it in South America. They did it in Australia. They did it in Africa. There is no more treacherous creature than the white man. But even a treacherous white man, when he starts serving Krishna, can become reliable. So all the deep-rooted differences and suspicions that exist between people can only be overcome if we're all brothers in serving Krishna, if we can appreciate the service we do to Krishna. So real brotherhood only exists on the spiritual path. That's what I told them in South Africa. I don't know if they got the point, because they're a little thick about this apartheid. But apartheid is everywhere. Gujaratis and Tamils. Just. Oh, alright. I think we're coming to the end. We'll turn it over to the children now. So, thank you very much.
Knowledge is another God, that's why we teach.